Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries. This teaching is going to be on the believer's authority. Now, we will be teaching you the authority of the believer in Christ. If you're a Christian, you can do great and mighty things that most of us don't know. It took me a long time to learn this. Now, at the end of this teaching, there will be a website and a phone number where you can get these teachings in their entirety, and they will be free and postpaid. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
Now then, see, if we put together the fact that when we sin, we get sickness and disease, we will start walking holy before God, wouldn't we? Sure we will. The spiritual authority you have only works when you walk holy. You've got to be under the Lord's umbrella. I'll give you an example of how that works. I've used this, and many people understand this simply. The government gives us a grace period or a grace spot from 0 to 65 or 70, whatever. Let's say 0 to 60 to drive on the highway. That's your grace period. You can drive anywhere from 0 to 60. What will a police officer do to you if you're anywhere in that realm? Will he bother you? No, not at all. You're under grace. You can drive 55, you can drive 45, you can drive 60. You can drive anywhere in that realm, no problem. What if you drive 75 and the speed limit 60? What have you just done? You have just fell out of that grace period and you've transgressed the law. And now then, if you come over here and there's a radar there and he gets you at 75, what can you expect to see real quick? Little blinking lights. And you know you're in trouble, don't you? You look down, you're driving 75. Oh, it's too late. He runs up there and he said, "Do you realize you were driving 75? "Well, sorry, sir, I wasn't paying attention." He said, "Let me write you this ticket. It'll only be $250. You know, it'll cause you to pay a little more attention next time." So you fussingly pay the $250 fine. But what does it make you have a tendency to do? Look at the speedometer a little more often. Doesn't it? Now then, in the Word of God, it works exactly the same. As long as you stay within God's grace, all problems are not going to bother you. But what if one day you say, "I'm going to step out from under God's grace and I'm going to go out here and I'm going to lie just a little bitty lie." Now, did the Ten Commandments tell you you're not supposed to lie? You're supposed to be truthful? That's one of the armaments that you put on every day. The truth. The belt of truth. Now, if you've got the belt of truth on, what's going to happen? Your britches are going to stay up. But what if you take the belt of truth off? As your pants fall down, it's kind of hard to run when the devil gets after you. So you've got a chink in your armament. You've just fell from grace. You've transgressed the law. And a fiery dart of the devil sitting right there waiting to get you, according to Ephesians 6:16. So when you transgress the law, the devil knows, and he gets you. Now, what can he do to you? It all depends on what he wants to do to you. Who knows what he might put on you? But he can put all kinds of things on you. But it will be some kind of torment, sickness, disease, killing, stealing, or destroying. One of those three. Now, if you walk in accordance with God's Word, if you take the Scripture, like 1 John 5:18, the Lord says, "My children do not sin." Makes you wonder if you're His child, right? But that's what He said in 1 John 5:18. "My children do not sin. They keep themselves. And the evil one cannot touch you." Does He pay good dividends to do it God's way? Sure. You don't have to sweat the devil when you do it God's way. Then, if the devil tries to come upon you to put something upon you, how much spiritual power and authority do you have over him?
All.
You can kick him out in the name of Jesus. You can absolutely kick him out. So that's what you need to do. Now then, if Jesus commanded these men to go out and to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead, and he later sent the 70 out, and they returned, all these men that went out and done this, he told us, you and I are supposed to be doing the same thing. Now then, You will never understand the authority of the believer with your intellect. Never. You must get the spiritual revelation, and you must believe it by faith. That's the only way you can get it. As long as you listen to man, man will tell you a false doctrine. I don't know how many churches I've been in my life, and I have never heard taught in church what I teach you in this healing school. I heard a woman, there's a woman called me the other day from up north, and she said, I have been in church all of my life. I've got some of your tapes. She said, they have set me on fire. They've revolutionized my life. She said, I have never heard God's Word taught like you teach it. Well, I just teach exactly what's written. I'm following right along with the verses, chapters and verses today. Just like I always do, I confirm what the Word of God says. But in Ephesians chapter 2, actually Ephesians 1:18 is where I want to go next. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Think about that magnificent statement. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power. The exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Christ from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, the most wonderful thing that was ever done, when God raised Jesus from the dead and completely destroyed the works of the devil. He did that, and He gave you and me all this power. Now, then, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, see, that's when you were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, which is what we did, according to the prince of the power of the air, we were the devil's children, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that spirit was in all of us. We were dead, we walked in it, we didn't know nothing, we were just dead children. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So where are we seated today? In Christ, in heavenly places. I had a preacher the other day, as I've taught recently, especially when I was in Baltimore, I done a teaching on the third heaven and what we can do from the third heaven. I had a lady call me the other day, said, you know John Paul Jackson? I said, oh yeah, know him personally. I sat across the table from him several times, eat with him, everything else, listen to him confess sickness and disease and want to just jump up and punch him in the mouth. If he wasn't my brother in Christ, I'd have had to just reach over and grab him with a shirt and God and say, John Paul, shut up that nonsense. You're talking sickness and disease and that's not the Word of God. But he's great on dreams and visions, but he don't know nothing about healing. Poor guy, unfortunately. It's amazing how God gives us revelation. See, I don't know nothing about dreams and visions. Nothing. I mean, He knows everything about dreams and visions. I don't know. I just said in amazement as somebody walks in and says something, He tells you all that. I said, wow, how'd you know all that? He said, well, gee, it's simple. Don't you know nothing? I said, no, I don't know nothing. So we can't get all these revelations. But somebody called me and said, you know, he said, it's dangerous to go to the third heaven. You're not supposed to do that. I said, well, all I can say is I never saw any real miracles until I started going to the third heaven. Once I started going to the third heaven, I started seeing God do awesome things. What do you base it on? I said, Hebrews 4:16. Well, I'm already seated in Christ right here according to Ephesians 2, verse 6. But Hebrews 4:16, he clearly tells me that in times of need I can come boldly before the throne of grace. Where is the throne of grace? In the third heaven. So why shouldn't I go up there when I have times of need? If I go up there and walk in bold as a lion, quoting the Word of God to my daddy, like I did for my grandbaby, and ask him to do these mighty miracles. How many of you know it's not just a little bitty miracle to repair a tore-up face in 2 weeks, to put a brain stem back together, reconnect eyes that are disconnected from the brain, restore all the internal organs in a little chest that's tore all to pieces, to repair a crushed right knee that every doctor assured me after she breathed on her own, now we need to do surgery, she'll never walk. I said, no, you're not going to touch her. I said, if you cut her knee open and go in there and put pins and screws in that, she'll have to have that redone every 3 or 4 years as she grows up. And I said, you'll leave old ugly scars and it'll cost a fortune. I said, when my Jesus gets through with it, there won't be no scars. He ain't going to charge me nothing. I said, he don't charge for doctor's calls. So I said, no, you're not going to touch my baby. They said, sir, you are crazy. I said, that's okay. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. And let me tell you, that beautiful little knee today, running and playing, I'm telling you, and it's perfect. In the name of Jesus, don't tell me the power of God don't work. I've seen it. You got to me too late. God don't do miracles anymore, does he, Miss Dale?
No.
No, not many. He does miracles if you come to him in faith, doesn't he?
Amen.
But you come to him begging and pleading, oh, God, my grandbaby, oh, Lord, you see what's happened to her? Oh, God, please, will you do something? Forget it. She's going to die. There ain't no faith in nothing you've done. You got to do it God's way. Walk in knowing who you are, a son or a daughter of the King of the universe, knowing that you've been given power over the enemy in the name of Jesus. Walk in quoting the Word of God.
We'll have to stop the teaching right there today, but we will take up right there tomorrow. We hope you will join us again tomorrow for the continuation of the teaching on the believer's authority. Now, if you'd like to have this teaching in its entirety, we would be happy to send it to you free and postpaid if you will call this phone number, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, or if you will contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org, www.tlsm.org. We'll be happy to send you these teachings free and postpaid. I hope you've enjoyed and will continue to enjoy the teachings on the Believer's Authority. Remember, they're free and postpaid to those that call.